Today we begin our series of conversations that are all about our invitation to you to invite your helpers to help you. So inviting your helpers to help is a conscious act. That's the most critical part of this entire conversation. Everything that we're going to say over the next 7 days is all going to be about this one thing: your conscious choice to invite your helpers in. Now, we've said again and again and again, your helpers can't get into your reality. We yesterday were having a conversation with a friend of ours, and we said very bluntly, you can't get into your friend's reality. You have a friend, they have their own version of the story, and you can't see it. They can tell you about it, but you can't really hear the description. All you can hear is what you're actually able to hear because of what you are matched to vibrationally. Likewise, your helpers can't get into your dream, because that is what we're talking about, because it's entirely yours. It doesn't belong to anybody else, and there's no one else here other than those thoughts that you're populating it with. Now, it is true that the other participants in your reality, meaning other people, but also the other objects, because it's not just people. The other people in your reality are ideas that you're borrowing from them. So your idea of what they look like and what they sound like and what they do, you're borrowing from your friend. Your reality, your amazing, astonishing, powerful reality is designed not to be this place that you hide out in, and it's not designed to be a place where you go to learn lessons. It's not designed to be a place where real things are actually happening, even, because this is entirely a dream. But the entire purpose of having a conversation about the dream, which is what we're doing here, it's always what we're doing, is to remind you that it is such, and that as such, what you think is really, really important is probably not really, really important at all. In fact, there's nothing that is truly critically important here. That's an idea that you had to develop on your own, that other people did help you with, and you got them to do that with you because that helped you individuate who you are. Because this dream, the dream itself is the dream of being alone, which is, sounds very sort of terrible, because if in your culture, remember, which is coming from within your own mind, in your culture, the idea of being alone or lonely is one of the great horrifying things. Now, not all the time and not for everyone. You're not actually alone. You're in the middle of your thoughts, but you're not participating with anyone else in this reality. You've got ideas that you've borrowed that are manifesting for you. So this is where you are. You're not alone. You're not alone in the sense of what seems to be a desperate idea that is really unwanted. But you are the one who is at the center of all of this, and it is a dream. You do wake up from the dream about once every 30 to 45 minutes, maybe every hour or two. When you sleep, you are waking up from the dream. The dream is temporary. It's transitory. It has no permanency, although you have developed ideas about permanency that seem really, really real. But that's part of the illusion of the dream. There's nothing wrong here. You're here specifically to slow things down, to parse things out, to individuate. And of course, when we talk about your process of individuation, we do make it sound like it happened long ago when you were born. But that's not when it happened. It's happening now. You're individuating at this moment. You're just getting, in a way we could say, better and better at individuating. Part of what is improving about your individuating is that you're beginning to realize it's a conscious choice. That you didn't fall from the sky. You didn't just land here all of a sudden on the island of misfit toys and find yourself kind of running amok, trying as best you could to do what you could with what you had. You are here because there's something happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit that you want. that has been put into motion by your desire and that is manifesting itself for you in this wonderful, delightful, and delicious way. So here at this present time, in this present moment, all is well. That's what's going on. Also, you have helpers. You have these eternal friends who see you having this dream, and they are utterly, entirely, profoundly, profoundly in support of the dream. Now, part of your journey of individuation has been to convince yourself that you over here are different than everything else over there. So we've talked about this before. There's sort of three stages. There's the zero point, which is where all things are at one. Then there's you, the idea of you, which is your body, your personality, your name. And we could say in geographical terms, it extends to what you would consider to be your aura. Then there is the other, which is everything you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell that is not your body. But as we pointed out, the other is an extension of your physical being. The other and its physical components are entirely wrapping themselves around your physical body and emanate from you physically in that sense. So if you could imagine that when you appear to be walking about, what is actually happening is you're a bright light that is walking about in a dream, and only the only parts of the dream that are active are the ones that you're shining a light on. And the way you shine lights on things in terms of objects, other people, situations, circumstances, anything that is physical is by being aware of it on a perceptive level, sensory level. So what you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is actually what is alive or animate at any given time. You could imagine, if you would, that you're walking about a vast stage, and the only place where there's a spotlight is wherever you're standing. Everything else is in shadow. And in fact, it's not really in shadow. It literally doesn't exist. The only physical reality that exists is what is extending through your sensory awareness. So if you're in a room with all the curtains closed and you can't see outside a window, the extent of your physical reality is the room. This seems like a really big deal if you're thinking about it within the context of the constructed reality that you believe exists. You are a dot on a big blue planet that's circling a sun, that's circling a galaxy, that's circling a universe. And so you're just this little speck of dust in the middle of a kind of a minor planet in a kind of outlier solar system that's kind of in a kind of interesting but not really big deal kind of galaxy. But that's not the case. Those are projected ideas that you have of who you are, and you've got proof that they exist. You can see photographs of these things up to a point, and then you can see renderings of them in terms of what they probably would look like if you could see them from a distance, which you couldn't. You could also theoretically project yourself out into all of this as sort of an astral idea, something we don't talk about too much because it's not really that relevant, and begin to imagine these different things as being constructed. But that's just you walking around on the stage without using your body. It's still not real. It's still entirely constructed and it has no permanency. It only has life because you're giving it life for the purpose that you're having at the moment. Now, if we go back to the idea of a stage, maybe a sound stage, where only what you can see and what you can hear, what you can taste, what you can smell, and what you can touch, that's the only thing that's active and alive. Everything else is potential and probable, but it's not actual. It only becomes actual when you perceive it. So your body is the idea that is actually animating everything, and you're the one who's animating your body. Now, your helpers are like, they have stories about what this is like that you're telling them, but they can't see it. The spotlight is for you and for no one else. Nobody can get onto that stage. Nobody can see it. It's not being filmed for later consumption. It's not something that is happening outside of where you are aware. The reason why we spend some time talking about this is how we want to invite you to remember who your helpers are and why your conscious invitation is such an important deal. Your purpose in being here is individuation. But you don't spend a lot of time here. That's the other thing. We know that you think, well, I was born in 19 whenever or 20 whenever, and then I'm going to die in 20-something or 21-something, who knows. And for that length of time, I will have been here. No. You've been here for maybe, most of you in this conversation, even as we're talking, have been here for maybe 10 minutes. Some of you for not even that long. Because in these conversations, we watch as you sort of blink in and blink out, and you leave and you come back and leave and come back. We've talked about this before. We've illustrated it with different ones of our physical friends as we were speaking with them. You're only here temporarily, and that's in terms of minutes, maybe hours, but usually minutes. It's very difficult to actually maintain your physical presence here for any length of time. Not because it's something that's hard to do, it's because you are really not here to stay here. You're here to visit. This is not your home, but you are making it your home, and you can have the feeling of it being your home, and you can give yourself evidence that it is your home. And you can say, I am of this clay and this dirt and this dust. But that doesn't mean that it's true, because you blink in and blink out. Of course, you don't really recognize that necessarily, and it's not really that important to do so, other than to remember that this is the structure that we're talking about when we talk about you inviting your helpers to help. The reason why you have to invite them is because they are doing what you're actually doing with your friends. They're not trying to get in. No one is trying to get in. No one would know where to go to get in, because this is an illusion. You have a very clear sense, while you're physically present, of time and space and your position, let's say, on the planet Earth, and literally what your coordinates are. And you can see, you have a machine likely in your palm or somewhere close by that has the exact coordinates that says this is literally where this machine is, which means that's where your body is. And you can see yourself projected onto a planet. This is where you stand. And that's really awesome, and that's really amazing, and it's quite an astonishing thing indeed. But it's no more real or true than anything else here. It's a temporary thing that's there for your delight and for no other purpose. You are here for that reason and for no other reason. Your helpers are quite aware of this. You, however, may not be. But that's why we're here, is to remind you of these things. Not because you need our reminding. You don't need it, obviously, but you want it. That's why you have conjured us up, because we're just as much a part of this dream as anything else. And so too are your helpers. The way you perceive your helpers from your physical self is going to be wrong, always wrong. That's not because you don't know things, and it's not because you're stupid, and it's not because you can't perceive them in truth. It's because you're not here to perceive them in truth. You're here to see them through the lens of self. From a non-physical perspective, your relationship with your helpers is very different than anything you can really imagine here, because it's hard to conceive of the idea of you being one of several entities, ideas, that are constantly expanding and becoming more of themselves, that are unconditional love, where time and space have really no meaning, because you're really bought into the idea of time and space here. Now, we know that each of you have had your moments where you get really clear, oh yeah, time and space does not mean anything. Ooh, wow. And then you scurry back to your physical reality because you're like, well, I'm not done with this yet. So I'm not going to go away from here. I still want to overly identify with my individuation until I'm done with it. Now, again, there's no real way to talk about this without sort of floating in and out of different levels of either this is temporary in the terms of lifetimes, or it's temporary in the terms of these next few minutes. But it's definitely, to be clear, a very limited, narrow focus place that you're in. And your job here, this is literally what you're doing, is to take broader ideas and narrow them down into individuation, into specificity, something you don't do in a non-physical sense. And that's specifically what you're doing here. And this isn't the only place you're doing it. You're doing it in lots of other places. You're just dreaming. This is a dream, and you have lots of other dreams. And your helpers are with you constantly. Now, to be clear, your helpers, you can use them as guides, but they're not your guides. And you can use them as angels, but they're not angels. And you can use them as ancestors, but they're not ancestors. In order to have ancestors, for example, you would need to have a past, but you don't really have a past. You have a conjured past. That doesn't mean you can't talk to your dead relatives who are your ancestors. You certainly can, because they are ideas you're having, but they do represent something far beyond what you are seeing yourself as right now. And in fact, they do exist, but not in the way that you think they do. So well, we've talked before about how some relationships are better when one of the people is dead and the other person is alive. What we're talking about is the fact that you have the ability to connect with the version of the other person that is the truth of who they are, instead of the narrowly focused idea that you have conjured them up to be. Your helpers are not angels, they're not guides, they're not ancestors. They don't live in another dimension in the way that is often constructed. We used the word astral earlier. We use that just as a point of reference, not because it's a real thing. There's no such thing as the astral plane. There's no such thing as the causal plane. There's no such thing as the ethereal. What there is, however, is you as a physical being having the idea of things beyond yourself, and then using the categorization capacities that you've developed, where you can do things like create hierarchies. That's entirely a constructed idea, and then apply it to something that you perceive from a physical perspective. So the only reason why talking about different planes of existence would have any meaning is if you believe that your plane of existence is somehow or another grounded in your physical being, which it isn't. This is a dream. There is no place of existence here. So you don't go from here to somewhere else. Although it can feel like, as you're leaving, when you've decided I'm not going to do this anymore, and you open a door, it does feel like you're moving from one place to another. And from a physical perspective, that is more or less what it is. But the physical perspective, of course, eventually collapses. You move out of this physical perceiving and you move into something else. But again, that's not going to happen when you're 103 and you just fall over dead or don't wake up one morning. That's happening later this morning in a few minutes. It's probably happened several times already. You do walk out of here and walk into something else. But because of the way you have figured out how to individuate yourself, you don't see it as death. We joke about it and say you die over and over and over again, and then you resurrect over and over and over again. And that's happened several times this morning. We joke about it because we know that it seems like a really big deal, but it isn't a big deal. Your helpers, however, are keenly aware of this because they can see you when you're not here. And when you're here, they can't really see you. We don't mean that they have no conscious awareness of you. What we mean is that they don't see you in the way that they see you when you are not here. And again, the word you, how we define that, has multiple different meanings, even in those few sentences. What we're doing here is we're reminding you, your helpers are over there, not outside of you, because there is no inside of you. That they're not in this dream until you invite them. Now, your helpers, again, are your eternal friends. The number one thing they do for you is help you maintain the construction of this reality, because this is an awkward thing you're doing. It is actually moving against the nature of your being. You're generating contrast, literally generating it. Now, from our perspective, we have contrast. We know the difference between one thing and another, but it isn't as massive as what you're in the middle of. And we don't say that with sympathy. Well, you poor things, you've got so much contrast. We're not saying it that way. What we're saying is, wow, look at the amazing contrast you have, because it is amazing. You have these very profound delineated ideas of what is one thing versus another. The difference between orange and red, spectacular. We know that you don't think of it as spectacular. It's orange and it's red. And red is kind of like orange, but it's different. And orange is like red, but it's different. And then there's yellow. Don't even get, red to yellow, you do have to go through orange. And then to get to green, you have to go through orange into yellow into green. And even that's really silly. But still, you do have this powerful contrast. And we're just talking about the colors of the rainbow. We're just talking about how light breaks itself up into patterns as it passes through liquid, through water. But the truth is, the contrast is here for your delight. That's why you have a construct such as light passing through water that is entirely a physical thing, has no meaning outside of the physical. Rainbows don't mean anything outside of this place. Neither does salt or sweet or spicy or sour. Neither does the feeling of sand under your toes that then you track into the house that gets gritty and into the carpet that you then have to vacuum or sweep out. That kind of contrast has no meaning if you don't have a body. You need a body for all of this to have any meaning. And you do. And it's magnificent and it's wonderful. And your helpers are quite aware of that. In fact, your helpers are aware of the perfection of your body in an unambiguous way that is really very difficult to conceive of. When we talk about how your helpers are helping you have the physical reality that you're having, it sounds like an awful lot of work, but it's not. They just have a perfect thought held in perfection for you, which is, from a non-physical perspective, very easy to do. Because they're not deluding themselves or giving themselves the illusion of difference or differentiation. If you say, I'm going to go into this dream, they say, yes, you are, and it's going to be amazing. And you say, yes, it is. And then you go. And so it looks like you kind of blink off for them. And of course, you're not really doing that. But the idea of you as you see yourself with your name and your body individuated is not available to them. All they see is you as the unified being, which even that's not correct, but that's a good way of looking at it. So here you are, la-da-da, having this experience, walking down the street, having your breakfast, going here, standing up, sitting down. And while you may be in a house of people, you may be in a house by yourself, you may be walking down the street where you're walking with hundreds of other people, or you may be the only person on the sidewalk. You may go to the beach flocked by thousands, or you may be the one who's there with a handful of birds and some fish out in the water and some crabs crabbing around doing their crabby thing. Who knows? You may believe you're completely alone in physical terms, or completely surrounded by people and alone, or completely surrounded by people and feeling the vibe of their beingness, or alone in your room but completely connected to all the people you know. Who knows? Whatever you're doing is exactly right. But what we can tell you is that in the context of your physical reality, your helpers are nowhere to be found. Because this is your dream. That doesn't mean, however, that they can't come and pay a visit. You can get into the habit of inviting your helpers to be helping you pretty much consistently, to the point where you could be walking around, whether you're in that crowd or you're in a room by yourself or you're in the kitchen with a bunch of other people cooking lunch or dinner or some special meal, or you're out at the beach and the crabs are crabbing and the gulls are gulling and you're walking through the water, just enjoying yourself either with you by yourself or with hundreds of thousands of other people. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can have your helpers with you or not. They never abandon you, ever. That's just not simply possible. But you can turn your attention away from them. You're not abandoning them because you're still connected to them. You will be connected to them forever. It's eternal. But not in any sense that is any way considered to be burdensome or onerous. That's entirely a physical construct. Your helpers are here to help you, and they are here to help you have what you're wanting, which sounds like they're kind of here to pat you on the head as a four-year-old and say, you can have anything you want. Let's go to the store and you can buy any toy you want. That's not what we're talking about. Although it could be that if you wanted it to be. But you certainly can have any toy you want. It doesn't matter how big or how expensive or how small or how cheap or whatever it is. You can have anything you're wanting and your helpers can help you have it. But you do have to invite them. And that's the entire point of this series. What we've done here today is we've laid out the construct. This is the idea in which, or rather, this is the cluster of ideas that is the basis for the reason why this conversation is even necessary. You're in this physical reality. It's amazing. It's astonishing. And we're here to testify that that is true, because from our perspective, it is. There's not a one of you with whom we have spoken over these many years who has ever told us anything that is less than that, even though we know that you think you've told us something very different. But we can see what's really going on, not because we see the specificity of your experience, but because we see who you are in the midst of having it. That's how your helpers relate to you. They see you as a vibrational being because that is who you are. And they see the changes in your vibration as you're experiencing whatever it is that you're experiencing in your dream. So if you've ever watched your beloved sleep or your child sleep or your dog sleep, and you've watched them sort of move about, and you can see changes in their physical expression and in their motion, where they're making noises or maybe even talking in their sleep, that's what it's like for your helpers. They, although it's much more intricate than what you can see with a dreaming friend or canine companion, you can see the difference in someone who's having a dream that they like and someone who's having a dream that they don't like. So too can your helpers, but they have a lot more data points than you do when you're looking at a dreamer within the context of physical reality. Because remember, other people, this is going to sound rather ridiculous, but it is quite true. Other people sleep so that you can see what it's like to be apart and away from. They reinforce the idea of what it means to be awake as well as what it means to be asleep for you on your behalf and to your benefit. Now, they're just sleeping. They don't know why they're doing it. But when you see a sleeper, when you see someone sleeping, if you'll notice, you are aware of their immense vulnerability because there's their body with no protection, just lying there. But at the other, on the other hand, you can also see their deep and immense connection to who they are. And to observe a sleeper sometimes can evoke a sense of not jealousy, but a sense of envy that they're off doing something else and they're at rest and you're awake and not. Now, your helpers have no sense of that kind of awareness, but we bring up that contrast because we do really want to point out you are asleep right now. You think you're awake, but you're actually asleep. When you go to sleep, you will be awake or more awake to who you are. And what you remember from your sleeping dreams always points to this, always. Because you can move much quicker and there's less gaps in time and there's less contingencies, and your capacity to be about things in your non-physical state that's reflected in your dream time awareness that makes its way back into your awareness as a physical awake, quote unquote, being makes it very clear. You're in the right place at the right time in the right way. That is what's going on here. Your helpers know this without condition, without exception. They're your biggest fans. They love you unconditionally in ways that you don't really truly understand, just as you do them in a way that you don't know from where you sit right now, because you're very busy about individuation at the moment. And that's perfect, because you know what individuation brings you is chocolate, sunrise, sunset, sex, the moving about of bodies with their nerve endings, and all the wonderful things that nerve endings bring to you. There are two parts to this series of conversations. There is the conscious invitation to your helpers to help you, and there is the awareness of how amazing it is to be physically oriented. Any conversation about your helpers is going to be, by its very definition, also a conversation about the dynamic nature of your being and how powerful it is to be physically oriented and how amazing it is. Because this is what your helpers primarily, well, it's the only thing they see. When you plead for their help, they can't hear you. But when you consciously invite them to come with you on the journey, they help you. Now, we've talked an awful long time, and we're going to talk just a little bit more. Our invitation to you is to consciously invite your helpers to help you. That's what we suggest you do today. Tomorrow, we'll likely have another suggestion. But today we invite you to invite your helpers in, to consciously say, just kind of go into a closet if you can't get by yourself, but it might even be helpful to do this out loud, to say to your helpers, come on, I want you to come join me on this journey. I want you to be part of this. And they'll be right there. It's up to you to tell them what it's like, because they don't know. All they know is who you really are. And if you think of your helpers as being salvation, they're going to disappoint you because they can't save you. But your clarity about what you're wanting will change things, and it will possibly look like salvation. We've said before that there's an art to talking to your helpers, and that's part of what we're inviting you to explore here. Because in order to really have a conscious connection to your helpers, you do need to realize that you're on equal footing with them. They're not greater than you. They're not smarter than you. They're the same as you. You're just temporarily individuating, and they're not. Now, there's a version of them, multiple versions, that is doing the same thing you are doing, that are doing the same thing you are doing. Just like there's multiple versions of you. Not an infinite number, but an awful lot, like grains of sand at the beach. But you're only concerned with the you that you see yourself as right now, what we've called before the number one you, the one that is sitting at the center of everything, from your perspective. And your helpers are aware of you. They know you, they love you, they adore you, they have great affinity for you. The resonance between you and your helpers is off the charts. It's unlike anything else you've ever experienced. And so in a way, we could say that, like, trying to define what the flavor of water, just simple dihydrogen oxide, without any minerals in it, there's no flavor. Unconditional love has no feeling. It's everywhere, and it's in everything. And the connection you have with your helpers, there is a bit of individuation because you're temporarily seeing yourself as separate and apart. So you'll feel the difference between the connection with them and where you're not connecting with them. Today would be a good day to pay attention to that. And the way to do it is to sit down and to say, perhaps out loud, okay, helpers, if you have a name for them, use the name. If you don't worry. One may come to you. Just give them one. Call them Bob if you want. Doesn't matter. They have no name. You have a name that's meaningful to you, perhaps. But if you don't have one, just call them Bob, or just say helpers or guides or angels or whatever you want to call them. I'm here. Help me. I invite you to come in. Kind of like telling somebody, hey, I just moved. I've got this great house. You want to come see it? I want to show it off. That might be a nice way to do it. But that's our suggestion for you today. We'll have likely a suggestion tomorrow. Maybe we won't, but probably we will. But today we invite you to invite your helpers to help you. So with that, we'll say what we love to say each and every time we say it. That is wonderful and delightful and as powerful and as delicious as all of this is, it's only going to be getting better and better and better from here.